Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing with us that beautiful picture of how you love us that Chris just sung about, how no matter what we've done, said, or thought, no matter how we've sinned against you, we thank you that your arms are always open wide, ready for us to come back. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us that picture of the Father's love, that you run to us, throw your arms around us and kiss us. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for being in a place, Lord, in the world that we have so much access to your word. Thank you that anyone here can get a copy of your word and that you speak through it. Lord, open our hearts to what you want to speak through your word this morning. Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, let us hear your voice, Jesus. Let us hear your message. And let us not just hear it, but let us do it as you tell us to. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we already talked about being holy as a believer. That if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, that God says, be holy as I am holy. That he's telling me that and you that. And so let's look at some of his instruction that he gives through Peter, and some ways to live for him, some ways to be holy. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you're new at this, that's going to be in the New Testament. That's the last third of your Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep on going. You'll see Hebrews go past there and James past there. And then slow down. Look for 1 Peter 3. And through God's writer, Peter, God tells us this in verses 8 through 16. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Here are some ways to live for him, to live for the Lord, to live for Jesus, to be holy. Let's look at some of them that we see here. First of all, love one another. Some ways to live for him. Love one another. That's what we see in verse 8. Let's look at it together. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. You know what it is to be in harmony. If you've, or not to be in harmony. If you've ever sung before, or not this choir, but in a choir before that wasn't in harmony. You know what it is to be in harmony. You've heard maybe three or four people get together and sing in harmony, a quartet or just a venue where three or four are singing and they all have a different note, but it's all in harmony. And ooh, when they hit it all right together, just, I love it. I bet you do too. It's beautiful. Well, God says, finally, all of you, all of us, all of you live in harmony with one another. Our living together as believers should be in harmony. Just a beautiful sound to the Lord. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. What does that mean? Put yourself in other people's shoes. If you're going to love one another, a great definition of love, which is the second greatest command that Jesus gave, the first being love. Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he added the second greatest commandment for any of us of all time, love your neighbor as yourself. And a great definition of love that I've heard is a selfless concern for the welfare of others. Not think about yourself. Yourself is gone. And there's someone before you. A selfless concern. So you're gone. You don't even think about yourself. There's somebody before you, and you just put all your concern on them. A selfless concern for their welfare, for the welfare of others. That's love. That's a good definition of love. Well, that's what God tells us to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other, he told us. That's the believers. Love each other as I have loved you. Did Jesus have a selfless concern for the welfare of others? I think so. He was so selfless that he let himself be nailed onto a cross and died, gave his life for concern for others, for you. Concern so that you could be forgiven of your sins and be with him forever and have eternal life and abundant life. He had a selfless concern for the welfare of others. Love one another. So be sympathetic. That means put yourself in other people's shoes. Try to put yourself in their situation. See what they're feeling. And when you love people like that, it means so much. Love as brothers is what we see next. Be compassionate and humble. You know, when you're sympathetic and you love as brothers and you're compassionate for others, those that you're loving, and you're humble, you're putting yourself lower, elevating them above yourself. And when you're sympathetic, oh, it means so much. I've had a few people just here recently giving encouragement to me, you know, all the things we have going on right now and things like that here at our church. I've had a few people that have just texted me maybe a few times, I'm praying for you, or called and, hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you. What's going on? Being sympathetic, being compassionate. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Love one another. That's one way to live for him. Another way is repay evil with good. That's another way you can live for him and be holy. Repay evil with good. Look at verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Well, that's not our normal way. That's not our natural way. In our human nature, which is our sinful nature, we are the opposite of this. In our sinful nature that we all deal with, even as a believer, the old man, so to speak, that's still in you, when you become a believer, the Spirit of God lives in you, but the old man is still there, the flesh. And there's a battle going on. And the flesh, the way of the world, says the opposite. says, if somebody is evil to you, oh, you be evil back. Or if somebody insults you, oh, you get the upper hand. You make an even better insult. You insult them even worse. Or the natural way, the way of the world is not, if they are evil toward you or they insult you, bless them. That's supernatural. And that takes supernatural strength. You've got to depend on the Lord, and He will do that through you if you'll let Him. And that's, thank you. I take that as an amen. That was a baby amen. Repay evil with good. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Evil is going to come against you. People are going to be evil to you. They're going to cut you off on the road. It's going to come in many different forms. People will insult you. What will you do? Don't repay evil with evil. When you're insulted, don't insult back. But here's what God says to do. With blessing, repay them. When someone is evil towards you, give them a blessing. Seek the Lord. Lord, how can I bless them? When they insult you, repay them with blessing. Lord, how can I bless this person? How can I be a blessing to them? It's supernatural, but He'll do it through you. This is what He commands. Because to this you were called. You see, He calls you to this. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Because you know what's really going to happen? When somebody insults you and they're evil towards you and then you bless them, it's going to be a blessing to you. God is going to bless you because you're being just like Jesus. You're being exactly like Jesus, who had all this against Him but repaid in blessing. You will inherit a blessing. You've experienced this. I've had a neighbor before that we've got a couple of cats, and they're inside and outside. They'll go everywhere, but then there's other cats in the neighborhood that we don't know whose they are. You know, there's other cats that go around in different places, and you know, we don't know whose they are. Well, I had a neighbor one time that was saying that, you know, our cats were doing all their stuff in her flower bed, and then she'd run across it when she's, you know, going through her flower bed. And at one point, we found a bag of cat stuff on our doorstep. I could have gotten mad or tried to lash out or something, you know, because it might not even be my cats. I don't know. There's other cats around. But God is teaching me this. He's teaching me this. You know what? I just started praying harder for this person. That might have been when I started praying for him. Maybe I wasn't praying for him before. Maybe that's what God was trying to get me to do. But I started praying for this person. And just day after day. And I still pray and pray for him every day now when I'm walking and praying. And then I just started praying for wisdom. With what to do. Well, you know what the Lord led me to do? To just go to this home and to say, you know, hey, what can I do? You know, how can I help? What can I do for your beds just in case it is mine or whatever? And long story short, that's what I believe the Lord led me to do instead of retaliating or anything evil or anything like that. I found myself at different pet stores talking about, hey, what's the best thing to help with flower beds if there's cats around? And so I was able to go to this home and put out all these special things in her bed and do things like that. And I was blessed. I was blessed. And you know what? We have a great relationship. We love each other. Repay evil with good. Jesus is the perfect example. Insult, evil against Him. They mocked him. They insulted him. They spit on him before they nailed him to the cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head and said, "Oh, hail, King of the Jews, you're a king." And beat him, beat his head with that thorn of the crown of thorns that would hit him over the head as it was on him. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He could have called a myriad of millions of angels in a moment and just wiped out every person that was insulting him and being evil toward him and nailing him to a cross. He could have just blinked his eyes and they would have ceased to exist and just been annihilated, and he could have done any of that. But Jesus repaid evil with good, and he prayed for them while he was up there. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Repay evil with good. Next, some ways to live for him. Not only love one another, not only repay evil with good, but watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. You ever heard that before? I've heard that a lot growing up. Watch your mouth. Look at verse 10 and 11. Here's a way you can live for him. Watch your mouth. In 10 and 11. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." That's a way you can live for Jesus. Watch your mouth. God gives us so much warning about the mouth, the tongue. As little as it is, your tongue, what it can do. Read in James and get you a study Bible and look up tongue in your concordance, or go online in a Bible thing and put in tongue and do a search and look in James and just read what God says in James about the tongue, this little bitty thing, and what it can do. God gives us a couple of illustrations in James. He tells us that just like a spark can cause a whole forest fire, that can go on and on, just one little spark. God says your tongue is like that. Your little bitty tongue. One little thing you say can start like a forest fire. God says another thing your tongue is like is like the rudder of a ship. You know, this a huge, massive vessel. Imagine that. A cruise ship or an aircraft carrier. So imagine this huge vessel and this little rudder in the back of it can steer that whole ship. Just move that rudder a little bit that way. That whole ship's going to... God says, your tongue is like that. It has that. It's so little, but it has that kind of power. And God tells us that life, in his word, he says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So be careful with this little thing. Watch your mouth. Be careful what you say. Before anything comes out, take every thought captive. God says, make it obedient to Christ. If you're thinking about saying something and you're not sure if you should, don't. Remember what we read, I think it might have been last week, be quick to listen and slow to speak. So if you're questioning whether to say or not, be quick to listen. It's better to listen. Slow to speak. God tells us all through the Proverbs, it's better to be quiet, not say anything. Then that's better. You appear more wise, too. If you're just quiet, you don't say anything before we open our mouths. Watch your mouth. How's your mouth? How are you doing with that? And you know what the mouth can do. Death and life being in the power of the tongue. James, God also tells us through James that with our mouths we can curse people. And you can hurt. Cut someone and terribly hurt them with a worse than physical pain, just emotional, with your tongue. Gossip, slander, talking bad about someone, their character, whatever. These things tear people down. What a terrible thing. But the good thing is life is in the power of the tongue too. God says use your tongue to build up people, to encourage people, to talk good about people. to tell them the good you see in them, to tell them, to encourage them. And God says, the two shouldn't come from the same. If you've got a well, it shouldn't have salty water and fresh water at the same time. That'd be ridiculous. And so our mouths should never be death to people. Death and life, that shouldn't come out of the mouth. Just life blessing to people and encouragement. That's what should come out of our mouths. So, some ways to live for Him. Love one another. Repay evil with good. Watch your mouth. Enjoy His attention. Enjoy His attention. Look at 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and He and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Look at the first part of verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. Well, you may be saying, right, oh man, well, I wish I was righteous. You know, that's not for me. No, stop that. If you're a believer, God says you're righteous. When you read in the Proverbs, the righteous do this and the wicked do this. What makes a person wicked or righteous? Well, you're wicked until you repent and put your faith in Jesus. It's about that simple. When we're in our sins and we're naturally who we are, we're a sinner destined for death and hell and separation from God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Well, we start off in that wicked state. But then if we hear the good news and we repent, we put our faith in Jesus, God gives us His righteousness. We receive a righteousness from God. Romans chapter 1 tells us we receive a righteousness from Almighty God, His perfection, His perfect righteousness. When we repent and we put our faith in Jesus, by faith in Jesus, it's given to you. It covers you. You're given His righteousness as if it's yours. And you are declared righteous. Justification is the theological word. God says He declares you righteous if your faith is in Jesus. And that's you. So back to it. What good news. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. Enjoy His attention. If you're a believer today, His eyes are on. He's always watching you and just loving you. His thoughts for you are like the grains of sand. He's just all about you. He's focused on you. And it doesn't matter that there's 7 billion people on this planet. God, we can't understand God. But He can focus. He focuses on you like it's just you. It's you and Him. We can't comprehend Him. That's what He does. He gives you His attention. And it says that His eyes are on you and on the righteous. And His ears are attentive to your prayer. Everything you say, He listens to it. Beth Moore said this thing one time in one of her studies. She said this thing that, she said, here's what it's like when you turn to God. The moment that you pray to Him and you go to the Lord, Lord Jesus, sometimes you may feel like you have to like get to Him. Lord, Lord, are you hearing me? Lord, Lord. But if you're a believer, this is true. The moment that you speak to the Lord and you say, Lord, or even think it. You're in a group of people, but you think, Lord, help me. The moment you call out to Him, it's like, she said this in her study, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like Jesus is like looking right at you and gives you His full attention. You know, you're in a group of people, there's something going on. You know, Lord, help me. You just say it in your mind. The moment you go to Him, Lord, it's like Jesus is just, yeah. Just gives you His full attention. Like He's sitting in a chair looking at you right in the face. Yeah, what is it? He's right there. He's listening to you. Enjoy His attention. Next, don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. Don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. Some ways to live for Him. Love one another. Repay evil with good. Watch your mouth. Enjoy His attention. And don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. Look at verse 13 and 14. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. And another thing to do, I want to encourage you to put the word cost, look in your concordance. Get a study Bible, look in your concordance and look up cost. and read what God says in the New Testament. Read what Jesus says about the cost of following him. Just a little bit, you know, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. That means cease to exist. No more you. Kind of like that selfless concern for the world. If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's death to self. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said, whoever, I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, whoever wants to hold on to his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. When you give everything to Jesus and you count the cost and you say, Lord, I'm totally yours. I put you above everything in my life. The things I love the most, my family, whatever people that you've given in my life that I love the most, I put you first. If I have to choose one, I choose you over them, Lord. That's what it is to put him first, for him to be your Lord and your God. Well, get that right in your heart. Don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. And then as you follow him, the suffering may come. I recently shared with you all about a bishop in Iraq that his priests came to him and he said ISIS was in the area and there was a threat that they were going to come soon. And the priests went to their bishop and said, what are we going to do when ISIS gets here? And he said, well, you will all die and they'll burn me. But I will be happy to die for Jesus. Don't be afraid to suffer for doing good. Go to the Lord with it. Go to the Lord. Tell him if you are. God, I'm afraid, Lord. I don't know if I'd give my life to you. Go to him about that issue. And make sure you get that right in your heart, that you surrender everything to Jesus. And finally, revere Christ as Lord and be prepared to give an answer. 15 and 16. Here's another way to live for him. Revere Christ as Lord and be prepared to give an answer. 15 and 16. But in your hearts, one translation says, set apart Christ as Lord. Another translation says, revere Christ as Lord. Well, to revere is to feel a deep respect or admiration for something. So for him, you have a deep respect for the Lord, for Jesus. You have admiration for him. Well, revere him in your heart. Set him apart as Lord in your heart. And that means you put him above everything and everybody. It's what we were just talking about, that issue. Maybe you need to get that right in your heart. Maybe there's something ahead of Jesus in your life. Maybe there's something you wouldn't be willing to give up for Jesus. Get that right in your heart. Revere Christ as Lord and be prepared to give an answer. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Be ready with that answer. If you don't have an answer, if somebody said, why do you follow Jesus? If you don't know what you would say right now, go home and spend time with the Lord. Spend time in his word. And get your answer so that you'll be prepared when someone asks you, well, why do you trust in Jesus? Look at what's happening to you. Why do you trust in him? Know the reason for the hope that you have. Spend time with him every day in his word and in prayer and write down what you believe he's telling you. And whatever he's telling you, have a word for the day for people. Whatever he's telling you, get that in your heart. Get it memorized. Get it ready. And when people come across your path in the day, share it with people. Not to mention letting them know about the hope that you have and why you have it. A lot of people have questions and are skeptical. And there's a lot of answers out there in apologetics. I encourage you, go to Ravi Zacharias's website if you want some apologetic answers for questions that people have. R-A-V-I. He's an Indian descent. Ravi Zacharias, rzim.com. or org it may be. Go there and just search. That's just one place. And when you give that answer, do it with gentleness and respect. And keep a clear conscience. Look at 16. We'll end with this. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Some ways to live for Him. Let's pray. Father, help us with these. Apply these to our hearts. Help us to live for You in these ways. Show us what we need to change. May we do that in our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if you're giving your heart to Jesus this morning, and you're surrendering everything to Him, you're just saying, Jesus, I'm Yours. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. When Chris leads us in this song, come and share that. Come and I'll pray with you. Here, come and make that known. We want to encourage you and build you up in that. Maybe you're going to join this church this morning. If the Lord is leading you to join this church, if He's telling you this is where you need to be, this is your place, this is where you need to be, come as Chris leads us and come be a part of our fellowship. If there's something else God's dealing with you with, do whatever the Lord tells you as Chris leads us.